This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Later this hour, we're going to meet one of the researchers who discovered a new giant salamander species that swims in the swamps of the Florida Panhandle and southern Alabama. Also, a little later in the show, we're talking about the 119th annual Christmas bird count coming up this weekend with the coordinator of the local count at Audubon's Corkscrew Swamp Sanctuary. But first, gopher tortoises are long-lived reptiles that can be found throughout Florida's forests, pastures, and yards. They dig deep burrows and shelter and forage on plants. Their burrows are very important to more than 350 other wildlife species, and that's why they're referred to as a keystone species. Gopher tortoises are listed as a threatened species here in Florida, so both the tortoise and its burrow are protected under state law. An extremely large gopher tortoise was recently rescued at Correction State Park when rangers there noticed that it was acting lethargic and appeared to have diarrhea. They took it to the Clinic for the Rehabilitation of Wildlife, or CRO, on Sanibel, where it's now recovering. State officials say it might be the largest gopher tortoise on record ever. Joining me now to talk about the big guy who's in recovery and about gopher tortoises in general is Dr. Heather Barron. She's the hospital director and head veterinarian at CRO. Dr. Barron, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Julie. It's great to be here.
It's always great to talk to you. And as always, we invite you to join our conversation. The number is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Heather, is this the biggest gopher tortoise that you've ever seen?
It certainly is. It's a close second to one we had a couple of years ago that came in weighing about 30 pounds. But this big guy on admission weighed about 33.5 pounds, and he's actually thin for his size. So he probably should weigh closer to 40 pounds. So definitely the largest gopher tortoise that I've ever seen, and most probably the largest one on record.
How does a turtle look thin?
Well, when you look at their arms and legs, then, you know, you can really tell when they're buffed up or if they're a little on the thin side. And this guy looks like a little 80-year-old man. He's got very thin arms and legs.
So, poor little guy.
You can tell he's pretty old.
So how big is he across? I mean, I don't know about specific measurements.
Yep, he's about 44 centimeters long and about half again that wide.
All right. Well, how big are they usually?
Normally, you're talking about like 13 to 15 pounds is the average top weight for gopher tortoises in this area. So, yeah, he's maybe twice the size of your average gopher tortoise in Florida.
He's a big guy. So why was he brought into CRO? I mean, the report says that he was lethargic, but tortoises aren't really known for being sprightly.
Well, you'd be surprised. Some of them really, really do get around quicker than you would think. But yeah, he was definitely not feeling well. And again, you could tell he was very thin. Again, probably quite a bit older. There's some indication that maybe his kidneys aren't working as well as they have been. And he definitely was not processing his food properly. And so we've done a number of interventions for him. And he definitely seems to be turning the corner. And we hope we can get him back out there. But for right now, he's enjoying basking under the heat lamps here at CRO because it's a little chilly outside, even for gopher tortoises.
Well, with this cold snap, that might have made it pretty tough for him if he was already kind of not feeling well. Do you have an idea what his issue is? Is he just kind of old and maybe got a virus or something?
Well, I think he is elderly, and I think like a lot of elderly creatures, sort of everything is kind of slowing down all at once. So his kidneys are definitely showing signs that they're having some trouble, and his liver may be having a little bit of trouble as well. So we're hoping with some good old supportive care that things will straighten out. But most of his blood work looked fairly good. So, yeah, I think we did have a bit of a cold snap right before he came in. And, you know, tortoises sort of get their body temperature from the surrounding temperatures. And so I think he was struggling a bit with that.
How old do we know how long gopher tortoises normally live for? And how do you tell their age?
In the wild, you really can't tell their age for sure, because their size is not always correlative with age. However, they have been documented to live for several decades out in the wild, 70, 80 years old even, and in captivity for 100 or more years. So I would guess, looking at this guy living as he did in a very protected state park like Koreshin, that yes, he could easily be 80 years old. You don't know for sure, but to get this big, he probably had to be not only pretty old, but also living in a place where he could get a lot of good groceries.
Yeah, a lot of good groceries. So how often do you see gopher tortoises at Crow? I mean, do they come in a lot?
A fair amount. I would say we probably see about 5 to 6 dozen a year.
Okay, what kind of injuries do they come in with? Is it mainly car strikes?
It is almost exclusively hit by car, but occasionally we'll see other predator attacks, or like this one, and this was the last one that came from Crescian as well. They keep such a great eye on their gopher tortoises out there that once again they just noticed that both the guy who came in a couple of years ago and this big guy were just sort of not acting quite right, and picked up on that very early, and so they're definitely paying great attention to their animals out there.
Yeah, but what kind of predators would go after a gopher tortoise?
Coyotes is a big one, and then anything that's, you know, larger than what the tortoise is. So sometimes the baby gopher tortoises can get picked up by raccoons and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of people might, you know, assume that a tortoise's shell is almost unbreakable, or that if it does get cracked or broken, that it's not that big of a deal for the animal. But that's not really the case, is it?
Well, underneath that keratin, bony keratin layer, which would be like our fingernails, is in fact actual bone. And so, yes, if that bone breaks, then what's underneath there is very vulnerable. And of course, the bone is full of nerve endings, so that's potentially very painful and debilitating for the animal. And yes, we have certainly seen gopher tortoises come in here that looks like a really well-used doggy chew toy after either dogs or coyotes have been at them. So, they can definitely sustain some pretty severe injuries that way.
So these are a protected species. How does that work with picking them up and bringing them in to Crow?
Well, if they're injured, then it is legal for a Good Samaritan to have that tortoise in their possession for up to 24 hours, but no longer than that. And they should be on their way to a licensed rehabilitative or veterinary medical center. Otherwise, you would need to have a permit to relocate any gopher tortoises. So if you had a tortoise in your yard that you're worried the burrow is tearing up your yard or the tortoise is eating all of your nice plants, you would have to get a special permit from FWC to be able to relocate that animal. Another thing that we see frequently happening is that people don't really seem to be aware of the differences between turtles and tortoises. So turtles are animals that are aquatic or semi-aquatic. In other words, they like to go in the water. But tortoises are strictly land animals, and that's what these gopher tortoises are. So they really can't swim, and we see a lot of problems with people mistaking them for turtles and putting them into canals and that kind of thing, which really isn't very good for them. So, you know, I would encourage people that unless you know what you're doing with these animals, to leave them alone, or unless they're clearly injured. I think a lot of times people see them crossing the road and they want to help the animal. Really, the best thing you can do is stop traffic on either side, as long as that's safe for you, and let the animal continue on its way. Sometimes they get very disoriented and very stressed if you pick them up to move them. If you have to pick them up to move them out of the way because maybe it's such a the busy road, then always move them in the direction that they were traveling. Otherwise, the second you set them down, they're just going to go right back across again.
Yeah, I always kind of wonder how their sense of direction is. Like, if they really know they're trying to get across that road, and they do turn around and keep trying to go the same direction.
You know, honestly, like, I've had them be disoriented either way. Even if you keep moving them in the same direction, sometimes the fact that you picked them up at all will disorient them, and they'll turn around and try to go back across the road that they were previously trying to cross.
What are you doing? I'm helping you out, bud.
No, it doesn't always make sense.
Yeah.
And so, that's why I said the better thing to do, if possible, is to just let them go on their way.
Yeah. Poor little things. So these are considered to be a keystone species because of the burrows that they make that are used by other animal species. What other animal species use these burrows?
Yeah, it's very cool. There's about 350 to 400 other species that depend on these gopher tortoises. Everything from, like, the critically endangered indigo snakes and bunny rabbits and burrowing owls, and the list goes on and on. Other types of Colonians or tortoises, other, like, box turtles, things like that, foxes, a large number of birds and other reptiles in particular. So it's very, very cool, the life that they support. And sometimes they'll all be in the burrow together. So you'll see, like, a timber rattler and the gopher tortoise, like, happily inhabiting the same burrow together. And, you know, they're living there peacefully.
Yeah, so. I was wondering how squatters' rights work with the gopher tortoise burrows out there.
Yeah, as long as it's not another male gopher tortoise, then the gopher tortoises seem to be pretty laid back about it.
Well, that's very welcoming of them. If you're just joining the show today, I'm talking to Dr. Heather Barron. She's hospital director and head veterinarian at Crow on Sanibel. We're talking about the giant gopher tortoise that was brought recently to the clinic, and it's thought to possibly be the largest one on record. If you'd like to ask her a question or join the conversation, give us a call now at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. And Marcus has taken us up on that offer and has joined us now and has a question. Marcus, what would you like to talk about?
Well, thanks. I love your show. I appreciate Dr. Barron's part on it. I noticed that it's frustrating to live in Southwest Florida and you report to FWC when you see gopher tortoises on a particular piece of land, and you come back a year or two later and there's 50 houses there, and that's really frustrating for all of us. I think it's also important to note that you're not supposed to touch or interfere with a gopher tortoise, but the FWC agents will tell you that if you shoo one off the road in the direction that it is traveling, they'll kind of make an allowance for that. And one last thing I would mention, too, is the lead researcher, Ray Ashton, a Florida resident, documented over a decade ago that gopher tortoises have a habit of scoring up plants that they know to have antibiotics and then come back a couple weeks later when the plants secrete the antibiotics and then actually consume the plants and treat themselves. And they're wonderful little creatures. And I hope that as we develop our area, we'll be able to still preserve and save the ones that are here now. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Marcus, for your call. And Heather, I wanted to ask you, Dr. Barron, I'm sorry, what happens to the gopher tortoises after they've recovered? Do you have to take them back to the exact same place where they were picked up?
That's exactly right. We are very careful to take them back exactly where they came from. And if there's some reason why they can't go back there, they are designated as what's known as orphaned gopher tortoises. So maybe we don't know the burrow that they came from, or maybe that burrow is no longer in place. And in that case, it is up to the state to decide where those gopher tortoises will be relocated to. But that's the exception. The rule is that they go right back to where we got them from.
And see all their old friends from their neighborhood.
Yep, and so that's why it's so important, if you do pick up a gopher tortoise and have to bring it in to the hospital for care, that you be very precise about where you found it. Even GPS coordinates are really nice to have in terms of getting that animal back out where it should go, because if you don't take them back to their burrow area, they will exhaust themselves, sometimes to death, in an attempt to get back to what they know their territory is. So when the state relocates them to a new area, they actually have to have sort of a corral, like a tortoise corral that they set up that will keep that tortoise in that area for about 6 months or so. so that they understand, okay, this is my new area. Otherwise, they will just keep walking and walking and walking to try to get back to their original burrow area.
Wow. So our caller, Marcus, mentioned the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. When you see gopher tortoises around, when people out in the wild see gopher tortoises or even in their backyard, do they need to report that to the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission?
No, not at all. Not unless there is something wrong with the animal or you have reason to be concerned about the animal. Otherwise, they're native species here, and they're just doing their thing.
Okay, so but I mean, if you see it on like a wide swath of land that's up for development, it might not be a bad to let people know that they're there.
Interestingly, most of the developers and builders know that you cannot like build over the top of a gopher tortoise burrow. You do have to get special permits to move them, and if you're found to be in violation of that, there's some pretty stiff penalties. So the builders are usually pretty good. Most of them care and know that there is a procedure in place for relocating those animals safely.
Well, I'm going to get off topic a little bit here because I know that you have had one heck of a year out there at Crow. I wonder how things are going now with the red tide admissions that you've been having. Have you slowed down a little bit?
We really have not, and honestly, I'm not surprised. What was surprising was that this summer was so bad, but traditionally, at least in the 8 years that I've been here, October to April is red tide season, and that is usually when we get most of our patients in. So true to form this year, we are getting a lot of birds in affected with red tide poisoning or brevetoxicosis, and I don't really expect that to slack off until this coming spring. And then hopefully it does go away, because what was so unusual about this year was to have it go through the summer, which is typically not the case.
And it really intensified there in July and August. I remember being out there at Crow and seeing what you were dealing with, and it had to take a huge emotional toll on everybody that works there.
It did, and a huge financial toll as well. Our caseload just for brevetoxicosis patients was up by over 300% for both seabirds and sea turtles. So it really did have a tremendous impact this year.
So right now you're seeing birds coming in kind of as per the norm with the red tide during the high red tide season?
Yeah, predominantly now, interestingly, rather than getting double-crested cormorants, which are kind of the poster child for red tide poisoning, we're predominantly getting in gulls and terns right now. And you will see that, where it kind of goes in waves. For example, I'm sure everyone is aware of all the dolphins that have stranded recently because of red tide. So you'll definitely see times that seem to be worse for certain animals, and probably because it depends on what prey items they're eating.
Are you seeing the sandwich terns and the common terns?
We are.
Because that was what was, I think it was a week and a half ago, a lot of them were really becoming sick and dying down on Marco Island.
Right, exactly, yep. And we're seeing, all the terns and some of the gulls commonly as well.
Yeah. So we just received word, though, that the sea turtle nesting season actually turned out to be pretty productive in spite of that red tide. Do you know anything about the successful number of nests?
Yeah, there was, at least on Sanibel, I can tell you, a fair number of nests, although not as many as the preceding 2 years, but still a fair number. What concerns me is that because we had so many adults that died here this year, that this could definitely impact things in the future, because of course sea turtles practice what's known as nest site fidelity, which means they come back years later to nest where they were born, and so you do worry down the line, are we going to have fewer and fewer nests here, and then that means there's going to be fewer adults coming back in the future. So we'll just have to see how that affects us going forward from now.
Yeah. I wanted to ask one last question before I let you go. How much longer do you think that this giant gopher tortoise is going to be there with you at Crow?
Well, you know, tortoises or reptiles in general are very slow to get sick, but that means they're also very slow to heal. So they have a slow metabolism anyway, and when they're elderly like this, things tend to slow down even more. So it may be a little while. We're trying to get some weight back on him, and that could definitely take some time. So, yeah, it may be another couple of months before we would expect to get him back out.
I know that you are kind of not want to give names to any of the animals, but a big guy like this that could be a record breaker, have you named him yet?
We didn't, but they did name him at Correction. They call him George the Gigantort.
Okay, good to know. Well, it's so great to talk to you, Dr. Heather Barron, Hospital Director and Head Veterinarian at Crow on Sanibel. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me today.
Thank you, Julie. Happy holidays.
You too. When we return, a team of researchers have discovered a new species of salamander up in the swamps of the Florida Panhandle in southern Alabama. It's got external gills, no back legs, and can get up to 2 feet long. We'll meet one of those researchers after this short break. I'm Julie Glenn, and you're listening to Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.